You're listening to DVD Talk Radio.
All right, y'all are going to get an inside look at what it's like to be in a press line at the Devil's Rejects premiere here at San Diego Comic-Con. So far, there's a pecking order. Video is first, still photographers second, and podcasting persons like myself, they're not quite sure what to do with. I think they're going to throw me in with the video people, and I'm just not allowed to take pictures because that'll throw everything out of whack, apparently. We'll see how things go. I guess the main thing is, hey, they're letting me, they're letting DVD Talk be here. That's a cool thing. Okay, I got my passes now. Just hanging out. Got about an hour and a half to showtime. It's not very glamorous. I guess I should describe that the red carpet is in place. There's several posters lining the red carpet, and all of the press are pushed up against a wall so that we can talk to the actors and actresses and Mr. Zombie as he comes into the theater. There's also some really big guys in black suits to smack us around if we get out of line. Hope that doesn't become necessary. It's starting to look like I need to stake out my claim here, so I'm going to try to move over and find a spot. All right, well, I do have a spot on the line, and I'm going to try to make it down into that right now. Like, herded in this cattle pen. Okay, we're situated in the cattle pen, about fifth down the line as they go into the door. And we're going to try to shout some questions at the homicidal maniacs as they come by. You know, I'm starting to think Lionsgate has a thing about body parts because the new Devil's Rejects poster has a bloody arm sticking out of I assume a hotel room. And, of course, there was the Saw posters with legs and hands and now fingers on them. So I think we're getting a little bit of a trend going. The poster is pretty amazing. So what do you actually ask in one of these press lines? I'm not really sure. Probably shouldn't say that out loud. It occurs to me now that I didn't introduce a lot of these people, so I will be sneaking in here to introduce this first person. This is Wayne Toth, who did the effects for Devil's Rejects. He also did the effects for House of 1,000 Corpses. So did Dr. Satan make it into the movie, or is he going to be on the DVD
someplace?
He'll
make it to the DVD.
Yeah.
Yeah. We shot a scene, but it just didn't quite fit in with the tone of the rest of the film.
Yeah.
But he's in there somewhere.
So what was your biggest challenge on the picture?
Probably the biggest challenge were just some of the conditions we were shooting in. Because I did Bill Moseley's makeup, and it was a wig that he was wearing. So we were out in the desert, and it was hot, dusty, and windy. And so that kept me busy quite a bit. And just keeping enough blood on hand was half the battle.
Got a line of Captain Spaulding's coming in. Next, we have comedian Brian Posehn as Jimmy Cracker. Have you come to terms with the fact that you're in a movie with Ken Foree as a Dawn of the Dead fan?
It's a little intimidating. I'm glad I didn't have a scene with him because I'd just be freaking out and asking for his autograph. And that would be weird in a movie.
Yeah. As a self-proclaimed horror geek, how does this stack up?
It's awesome. It's definitely one of the best horror films I've seen in the last couple of years. I like it even better than the first one.
Yeah.
And I was a big fan of House of 1,000 Corpses. Pretty much begged Rob to include me in this. I'm very happy he did.
Got Tim Sullivan coming up. He directed the Herschel Gordon Lewis remake of 2001 Maniacs.
Perfect.
I'm a big
Something Weird video.
Yeah.
Yes, we worked with Mike Rainey getting the rights for 2000 Maniacs. So, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm a big Herschel Gordon Lewis fan, so I got to be honest, I'm a little suspicious of this remake.
Okay.
Win me over.
Well, I'll tell you this. I showed the film to David Friedman, who produced the original, and I was very, very nervous. And he said to me, "You know, Tim, you made a modern film, but you kept the joke intact." And that's what I tried to do. I think the original film has such an essence, a vibe, that you can't duplicate. And my whole goal was to just, if I could try to be true to that vibe, and that vibe to me is just a rebellious, over-the-top, devil-may-care, attitude of Herschel Gordon Lewis, and we really put it into the film. And, the film, we didn't use CGI. I'm not going to use CGI in a movie where the original, they went to the local butcher shop to get the guts. So everything was done on camera, on set. It's a very politically incorrect film. Everybody's equally offended, and it's a Valentine to those exploitation grindhouse movies.
All right, I'm warmer. I appreciate it.
Okay.
So the South will rise again.
Yes,
what you're
will.
Telling me.
The South has risen again.
Excellent.
And yeehaw! And I think we captured the spirit of H.G. Wells.
All right, great. I think we're gonna get Bill Moseley up next. Now you have two horror icons. You've got Chop Top and Otis.
Yeah, that's right.
Where do we go from here? How are you going to...
going to be in my next film.
Chop Top, Otis, I don't know, bald neck or liver lips.
Liver lips.
He's playing Captain Kennedy.
Thoughts maybe, a remake of Black Stallion.
Oh, the Black Stallion.
Yeah, right.
All right. I understand that there was a scene that you had sort of a hard time with. It was sort of a downer.
It was a scene of sexual intimidation.
Yeah.
And it was far from my personal experience. Mm-hmm. And it didn't really feel very good doing it. And after about the first two takes, I walked off the set, and there was Rob kind of waiting in the wings. And I went over to him, and I said, "Man, this is really bumming me out." And that's when he looked at me right in the eye and smiled and said, "Art is not safe." And that's when I knew that we weren't just making a sequel here. We were going for something special. And that actually bolstered my spirits, and I just went back in there and intimidated
away. Intimidated even more. William Forsythe stars as Sheriff Wydell. I'm hearing that a little bit of this has a Western feel to it. Peckinpah, Wild Bunch. How would you connect with that? Do you feel like that's true? Or
I think the underbelly of the film has that definitely. I think a lot of it is my character kind of brings to that, because he's so rooted in the West, so rooted in something that's old and forgotten. And so there's a lot of that element that comes along with that, is definitely brought to you by this particular character. Yeah. But not exactly.
Not exactly. Sort of in a twisted Rob Zombie Cordova?
Very, very twisted. Very, very sacrilegious way, I'm quite sure.
Next we have Lou Temple, who loses face as Adam Banjo of Banjo and Sullivan. Tell me about your performing duo.
Adam Banjo and Roy Sullivan. They're a country duo that's on the rise, and they are they've just got together. Adam is very hopeful, and Roy's sort of a fallen country star. And so Adam and Roy put together this duo with their wives, Wendy Banjo and Gloria Sullivan, and they did the big songs, "I'm at Home Getting Hammered While She's Out Getting Nailed," "Dick Soup," "I Don't Give a Truck," "She Didn't Love Me But She Loved My Money," these types of songs. And they were just moving up the ladder when they ran into some trouble, the Devil's Rejects out on the road. So it just goes to show you, stay away from the Pancake House.
All right.
You'll meet bad people
there. That's a good tip.
Yeah.
A good tip.
So it was a great time working with Rob Zombie. He's a Renaissance man and very creative. And I think he's always wanted to be a cowboy at heart. So I felt honored that he was able to use me and his cowboy enthusiasm.
Excellent. And here's a guy that Cineschlockers know and love, the great Danny Trejo. tell me a little bit about how the picture worked out for you.
It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. I mean, Rob, working with Rob is a blast anyway. And I'm actually a good guy in this. I'm one of the bounty hunters, and he hires us to go look at, you know, for the Devil's Rejects. It was fun. You know, it was like a lot of family movie.
Yeah. Well, sometimes the tough guys are the good guys. Yeah. You know, they don't have to be. Here comes the man himself, Ken Forey, as Charlie Altamont. So what's the secret to running a successful Wild West Horror Ranch?
He's not successful. he's the biggest screw-up in the world. This guy, it was supposed to be a frontier resort, and that failed. So he, in some weird way in his wacky mind, he decides, I'm going to try this whorehouse. And so he tries to be a pimp. Charlie's not a great pimp. The women, damn, they're cussing out, you know, but he's a good guy. You know what I'm talking about? He's a nice guy, sleazy, but nice. So he's one of those kind of guys that he's in another business every couple of years. So, and in fact, his brother's in businesses, and they used to get in trouble, and they're in jail together, and that kind of thing. So, you know, it's an interesting life. But Charlie is a massive failure at almost everything he does, you know.
Are you pleased with how it turned out?
I am pleased with how it turned out. Yeah. It's very nice. I was impressed. I'm impressed with all the performances, the direction, the editing, soundtrack, all of it's very good. Have you seen it?
No.
It is good. If you're going to walk out of that mountain, then you're going, oh my God.
It's not scary.
It's bloody. I wouldn't say it's that scary, but it is bloody, and it does kind of rattle your nerve a little bit. You know, it does scrape a nerve here and there.
Not at all like Willy Wonka, then, huh?
Huh?
Not at all like Willy Wonka?
Willy Wonka has nothing on this thing. Ain't no chocolate factory in here, I guarantee you.
All right, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Okay.
Cineschlocker idol Sid Haig describes Captain Spaulding.
I am the epiphany of the American spirit.
I'm sorry.
I am what this country used to be all about. That means if you want to fuck with me, let's bring all your shit, because I don't care about no 38th parallel, no Berlin Wall, no DMZ, no drawing lines in the goddamn sand. You piss me off, I come over there and put my boot all up in your ass. That's Captain Spaulding in a nutshell.
Uh-oh. You're going to hear a little tremble in my voice because this is the lovely, lovely Sherry Moon Zombie as Baby. I understand you had the first movie, you had a little hard time with some of the violence and some of the horror elements. How did you do the second time through? Were you more comfortable?
No, I was probably discomforted in the same way. I really don't want to meet someone who likes to do those violent things. You know, I'm very concerned about the other actor that I'm stabbing or whatever. I want to make sure that everything's working properly so they don't actually get hurt. And to get to that state where you're doing something like that is pretty heavy. So
yeah. Okay. I saw recent Toolbox Murders, and you had a pretty gruesome end in that one. How is working with Toby compared with working with your husband?
Totally different experience. I think every director is different. Toby's great, and you know he's like a legendary director, and I had a great experience with him. It was
great.
Fun, yeah.
Do you feel like Baby is sort of a twisted? A female role model in some sort of way about female power against a male-dominated world?
Maybe she is. We'll have to see what people think after this movie.
All right. Thank you.
Cool.
She replaces Karen Black as Mother Firefly, Leslie Easterbrook. The Police Academy films, I'm sure you inspired a lot of young women to go into police work.
A lot of actors. There have been a lot of police movies ever since then.
Yeah.
I said, whoa.
Do you have any fear that you may inspire some homicidal mamas out there?
You know, it's interesting. I've done a lot of thinking about that kind of thing in my long and sort of strange career. I don't think so. I think people that see films like this, if they do have crazy tendencies, this is an outlet. I don't think a crazy film or a dark film has ever made anybody dark. I do know that I saw a horror film a number of years ago, and I decided not to see another one because I was so disturbed. It was so good. It was a George Romero film. I was just knocked out, and I thought, I can't crawl inside that place anymore as an audience. But I'm going to start going again because I've grown up.
Sort of like once you get back on the roller coaster, you enjoy riding the roller coaster?
Yeah, very much. I don't think I was impressionable now. I've made a lot more. At that point, I hadn't made any movies. You know, so now I kind of know, I know what's going on behind the scenes and how you don't see the entire scene. You only see pieces of it.
Oh, we just sort of missed Rob Zombie, but that was basically the press line experience. Now I'm going to go in and see the movie. Hopefully it'll be worth it.
You've been listening to DVD Talk Radio. Find DVD Talk Radio online at dvdtalkradio.com.